Hey listeners, this episode is brought to you by Bars.app. Bars is a mobile app that enables podcast and audiobook enthusiasts to clip and transcribe their favorite portions of the episodes they're listening to into notes with a simple voice command. Bars. They're then able to easily access and share those notes with their friends and family on social media.
From iAfrican Media, this is iAfrican Bites, a podcast that features commentary on African news, insights, opinions, and analysis with tech industry leaders and professionals. The podcasts are from interviews conducted by the iAfrican team, whether at events or when needed for commentary. I'm Badaun Kotsokwane, host and editor-in-chief for iAfrican.com, spelled www.iafrican.com.
Inasmuch as business is a for-profit exercise, it's very much a journey of personal growth too. The rapid surge of tech-driven solutions on the continent has accelerated the emergence of startups. It's difficult to build a tech firm from zero. Early stages are frequently marked by uncertainty, restless nights, and an unwavering drive of making aspirations come true. This is the first in a series of episodes that will document and record the development of Bars, a smart content tool that enhances podcasting listening experience. We will be following the founder Ntsako Mgiba and his team in order to gather information and insights that will be used to create a guide that will help thousands of listeners who are promoting innovation and entrepreneurship in the ecosystem. Ntsako, thank you so much for joining us at iAfrican.com. This is the first of many to come. You know, I'm looking forward to, you know, documenting and really, you know, documenting the trajectory of Bars. And I think it's really important for the South African and African tech ecosystem, you know, to really follow a story like this. And yeah, you know, so this is like, you know, one of many more to come. So before we jump into, you know, Bars, your new startup, you know, let's start from the beginning. Now, you at the University of Cape Town, where you're a student, and you know, through design thinking processes, you founded Jonga, you know, your first startup, you know, which raised seed capital, seed funding. Now, you know, tell us about Jonga. What problem did it solve?
Badaun, first of all, thank you so much for having me as a guest. I'm really excited to be a part of this discussion and for your listeners to track my journey with Bars. And yeah, just to jump right into it and answer the question. So we started Jonga in around 2016. So the context around that was that the University of Cape Town was having like an innovation challenge where we were challenged to imagine a new Africa. So initially working on some other idea in the solar kind of, you know, renewable energy space. But during that competition, which happened over about 4 months or so, went home to visit my aunt who lives in Witbank. And in the very first evening that I arrived at her place, we got broken into. So woke up in the morning, yeah, and realized that everything of mine that was valuable, everything of hers that was valuable was stolen. And, you know, we woke up feeling very disoriented, walked outside, found footprints leading to other people's homes as well. So the assumption there was that maybe these guys had entered into multiple homes. You know, then tried to do the whole thing of following up, calling the police, you know, getting the statements and so forth. Obviously, they only arrived hours later when it was way too late to do anything about it. So for me, that really drew my attention to this really major problem. That people don't actually understand is actually heightened in the township. People think that crime is only bad in suburban areas, but even in the township, people are vulnerable, you know? So the problem that we're trying to solve is essentially crime, but more particular home burglaries, which play in the townships. And, you know, oftentimes people don't actually have the means to protect themselves the same way that people protect themselves in suburban communities, for example. So that is really the challenge that we were trying to go to. We felt it was a huge injustice that crime affects everyone, but only a few people are actually privileged enough to actually afford protection for themselves. So we wanted to democratize safety even for people in low-income communities.
That's a tragic story, but it's actually amazing how, you know, something as tragic as, you know, having your house broken into that leads to, you know, a beautiful innovation and I think product like Chonga. So like how many users and houses did you onboard throughout, you know, Chonga's lifespan?
Sure. So the Chonga story is a very interesting story. It has a lot of ups and downs. You know, we only managed to actually deliver on a product that works like maybe 3.5 years into the journey, right? But by the time we actually were able to get it right and certify our design and actually get to the market, it was very interesting. Like we launched literally the month just before COVID and the lockdown. But, you know, even in the midst of that, you know, through kind of pivoting our go-to market and trying to access home, we were still able to onboard around 400 to 450 homes and businesses. So one of the changes that we actually made in light of, you know, just lockdown and the country being shut down was that we actually decided to focus a little bit more on small businesses. A lot of them were during that time. And even though we couldn't access people's homes, we realized that small businesses in these communities were still active. And through trying to structure partnerships with other companies, we were able to access small businesses. And we managed to onboard about 400, 450 between there. And that was probably, yeah, that's as big as we got before, you know, the impact of COVID. We succumbed to that impact on the supply chain, and we even started to see just changes in the demand side as well, which led to us kind of going into stealth mode and not really progressing to scale to more homes and businesses in that time.
Okay, so just to get the timeline correct, when did the sort of startup Chonga sort of start? I don't know if this is correct, like fizzle out, or where the market wasn't as responsive. Was it 2020, 2021? Like which year of COVID now?
Sure. So lockdown was obviously in around February, March, 2020. So that was around the time that we had actually launched. So we operated for a good year and a half before ultimately getting to a point where, you know, we realized that this was going to take a lot longer than we had thought. Obviously, in the beginning of lockdown, everyone thought that, you know, in a couple of months, we're going to be, you know, past this. But now looking back, that was not the case, right? It lasted a good 2+ years. So, yeah, along the way, you know, we succumbed to those challenges, and we were in a position where we were not quite ready to grow. So we kind of just kept at that point. At this point now, we were, you know, offering payment holidays to some of our customers who are now battling to pay us, obviously due to COVID on, you know, just the, you know, just their financial security. And we saw that, you know, although security is a really big priority, it doesn't beat, you know, like food and other more. So we tried to do our part by just, you know, trying to release some of the load from our customers. We then, you know, allowed some of them to enjoy a payment holiday. And from that point onwards, we kind of just assessed the external market, and we found that, you know, it's probably in our best interest to kind of go back into a research and development mode as opposed to, you know, trying to aggressively grow at that point.
I mean, I just want to pick your brain during that specific period, 2020, you know. It was a difficult period for a lot of people, you know. As, you know, the founders and executives at Chonga, what insights, it could be as a team collectively or just you, Nzako, what key insights do you draw from that period? It could be both business and sort of, you know, personal, specifically during that 2020-21 difficult period, you know, the world was in.
You know, I think what that period taught me is that, you know, it's extremely important to do your scenario planning as a business owner. You know, that was like a worst case scenario that no one could have ever predicted. It's one of those kind of edge case scenarios that you don't even, you know, find worth your while to even consider. But I think what it's taught us is that it's super important in your scenario planning to consider a doomsday scenario, because the chances that it might happen are actually, they're non-zero. So you have to actually. So I think that was an important lesson for me to take. But I think also another thing is that, just the humanity of the people that we're trying to serve, right? Like, yes, you think you're an important part of their lives, but really you're just a part of their lives, right? You're not everything in their lives. There are other problems that they're dealing with and or facing. And you have to also come to that realization that, you know, these customers are battling with other issues as well. So you have to be respectful now, of that.
Nzako, Jonga raised about five. Okay, our insights tell us about 5 million rand. Is this right? Are we close to the mark? You know.
Yeah, very very close to the mark. Yeah, we raised
about 5 million. I just want to know in that pitch deck, you know, as you were looking for this, you know, what was the, you know, one or two things from your pitch deck that, you know, your investors really believed in Jonga, or what really sparked that, you know, that hard interest or confidence in the product that is Jonga?
So I think one, you know, our ability to tell the story about the problem that we were trying to solve was, thankfully, you know, we all live in a country where we can't deny that crime is actually a big issue. And, you know, our ability to articulate that was always an effective tool that we had in our favor. Also being from these communities ourselves, having family members that were still there, you know, really helped convince investors that, you know, this was a market that we cared about. And these were also, you know, environments that we knew and we were comfortable with in actually, you know, providing a solution to this market. But I think also what kind of really helped our case was the fact that we had an excellent set of angel investors as well, who, you know, were able to fill the gaps that we couldn't actually fill within our founding team. And I think, you know, having those angels on board was great validation for, you know, some of the institutional backers to see that, you know, these guys can obviously, we were able to convince those angels to actually support us and back us with their own capital, really went a long way. So I think, you know, we were one of those very unique stories where we had quite a lot of success in the early stage from our fundraising journey. And I think it's because we kind of hit on all of the right steps that provided validation to unlock the next step. So what I mean by that is we started off with grants and startup competitions, and the success in that space is what led to the angel investments. And then angel investments was the next level of validation that led to the institutional investors. So I think going through those gates and always achieving milestones along the way to kind of unlock them really gave investors a lot of confidence to actually support the journey. And it gave us as founders credibility.
I love how you just, you know, narrated that whole journey. And, you know, throughout that whole journey, I mean, raising such, you know, a lot of money, you know, a lot of IP, a lot of your ideas, you were able to manifest it. A lot of some of the ideas you were able to put to paper, a lot you were able to, you know, demonstrate in the tech stack and sort of many other, you know, ways you put the product together. Now that Jonga is not in the picture anymore, what did you do to the IP and the product development of it? You know, where is the IP of Jonga as we speak right now?
Sure. So the IP of Jonga is still there. I mean, this was, we developed this ourselves. So we have ownership of the intellectual property. We're currently in a process of handing that over to one of our partners who's going to take that to the next level. And really, you know, as founders, we just came together and we realized that, you know, after 7 odd years working on this full time and now, you know, having, you know, other things that we're pursuing that are also gaining traction, it's probably the best time for us to give it to somebody who can take it to that next level. So, you know, thankfully, Jonga is going to live on in the world. And I'm super excited about that because it's not like the problem went away. The problem is still there. And, you know, it still requires a solution. And with all of this technology, we'd hate for that to go to a waste. We've just kind of decided, you know what, it's best that we actually back one of our partners to take this to the next level. And Jonga gets to live on in the world, which we're really
excited. Beautiful. I love that. Nzako, I'm going to just, you know, put a bit of pressure on you. We're going to do it
I'm going to require you to do this like elevator pitch style about bars, because I really want to talk about bars now. Why bars? Who is bars? How does it work? What are we talking about when we say bars?
Awesome. All right, let's get into it. So imagine this, right? You're listening to one of your favorite podcasts. You hear some point that hits you like a bolt of lightning, and you really want to remember this point, right? But because you're probably doing something while listening to the episode, you can't take that note down. So this is a problem that affects so many people, and it affects me nearly on a daily basis because I listen to podcasts all the time. So that is, in essence, the use case and the problem that we're trying to solve with bars, is that very moment. You just want to capture that point, but because your hands are preoccupied, you can't actually jot it down and interact with it. So in essence, what bars is a mobile app that allows you to capture your favorite moments from your podcast episodes or your audiobook titles into notes by simply giving a voice command, and that's saying bars. Exactly. So you say bars after you hear something. What the app does is clips and transcribes the content just preceding the voice command that you give, and then it adds that to a note for the session, so that by the end of your car ride or your walk or whatever you're doing while you're listening, you'll have all of your notes beautifully transcribed, accurately transcribed, waiting for you to then take an action.
Beautiful. Now, yeah. I just wanna understand it, right? Like visually for me. So is it like a screen recorder, or like does it integrate with, like, let's say like I'm listening to a podcast on Spotify. Does it give me sort of other analytics, like timestamps and the transcript of the actual word? Like describe it for me. Like I'm on Spotify. What happens? Is there like an icon of bars hovering on top? Like, how does it work?
Sure. So we describe bars as an intelligent listening tool, right? So not a streaming platform. Bars is not meant to replace Spotify. It's not meant to replace Apple Podcasts. It's actually a tool that's meant to complement those platforms and take notes on the content that is already playing on those platforms. So when you download the Bars mobile app, one of the first things that we're going to ask you to do is to link to your preferred streaming platform. And then what happens when you now stream the content from that platform, the Bars app is then able to also listen in with you. And while it's listening to the content that's being streamed, it's also listening out for your voice command. So once you say the word Bars, it then says, cool, I'm going to take exactly what we just heard, and I'm going to take that, I'm going to clip it, and I'm going to transcribe it, and it's going to be waiting for you in a note at the end of this episode.
Jeez, man, that's super awesome. But now here's the thing, because now I'm thinking about this in Tsako, I'm a cybersecurity practitioner, so you know my cyber senses are always just tingling when I hear, you know, information, and we're listening. Like, so are you recording my podcast as I'm also listening to it? And if you are recording, where does my recordings, do they sit on your cloud, or how does it work?
Sure. All right. So we're not recording in the traditional sense where we're recording a conversation that's happening. So the people around you are safe in that regard, right? In essence, what we're doing is we're tapping into that same stream, the data that's being streamed with you, right? So we actually have a view on that stream, and then we're able to clip it and then actually transcribe it from there. So the only actual spoken thing that we're looking out for is that command, bars. And once you say that, then we're able to clip the content. So from a security perspective, there aren't really concerns with the approach that we're taking, because in essence, it's the same thing as if you were just listening and then you just wrote that point down, right? That's exactly what we're doing here. We're not necessarily keeping anything that you're saying in the background or anything that is not being said on the stream. We're not saving anything like that. And unlike other transcription services, we're not saving everything in that episode, right? So it's only just those portions of interest to you. So when you say bars at minute 2, and then you say bars again at minute 7, bars again at minute 20, those three clips are the only aspects of that episode.
Okay, now so the benefit of our listeners, right? prior to me saying bars and after me saying bars, you're not recording. Let's say I'm in the car, I'm listening to the podcast, but I'm also having a conversation with my girl. You're not listening to that conversation. Okay. And then after I say bars and before I say bars to end the recording, while I'm also having a conversation with my girlfriend, you're not recording that. It's just literally the audio from the podcast. So there's no like external record. Oh, okay. 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 Okay, that's dope. So what's the need? Like what's the is this really in high demand? Like I'm trying to understand in South Africa, or rather, and you'll explain this, you know, what sort of markets are you looking at? But is Africa a really heavy podcast listening, you know, market, or are you looking at other markets? Where are you looking for this you know, product to be really adopted in?
I mean, well, this is a problem that is globally relevant, right? Podcasts are taking off everywhere around the world. I think the compound annual growth rate of this space sits between 16 and 20%. So it's a really fast growing market. The bulk of the market exists within the States. But even locally, it really is growing, and we're seeing a lot more podcasts. Obviously, there are the, you know, popular names like the MacG podcast. There are so many other podcasts, particularly in the startup space, in the business and productivity space, that are really going to take off, right? We're seeing companies like Cliff Central that are these kind of parent companies that have different podcast channels and brands underneath their stable. So it's something that is really, really growing, which is exciting for us. I must say, though, that South Africa for us is an opportunity for us to test the bars value proposition. But really, the growth markets is going to be, you know, America, Sweden. Interestingly, 50% of the Swedish population listens to podcasts. It's very, very interesting, which is higher than any other country. So it's something that's taking off globally. And in terms of that need, what we've seen, right, through studying the market and analyzing it, is that there are a lot of tools that are coming up to support the content creator's experience, making it easier to create, to record podcasts, to distribute them, to clip them and, you know, market them and so forth. But there's very little attention that's being paid to the listener's experience. And in essence, that's the niche that we're playing in, where we're trying to enable the listeners to have tools that can enhance their engagement with the episode, so that it's not just about hearing amazing things all the time, but also taking those insights, transforming them into notes that they can then action and, you know, can then improve their lives with. And that's really the niche and the opportunity that we've seen. And, you know, we think it's a pretty huge issue. One, I experienced this issue myself. I listen to podcasts. I listen to maybe 2 podcasts a day. So you can imagine, that's about, you know, 14 episodes. And in each episode, I hear, you know, at least one nugget that I would love to capture. And I can't. So in essence, we're enabling people like myself to actually get those notes, to get those insights.
Beautiful. Brother Ntako, you know, a lot of AI, you know, power tools are, you know, are coming up into the market. A lot of companies are adopting sort of AI. So my question attached to that, right? When I went on the website, you sort of apply to use the beta version of it, you know? So where are we in terms of development of it? Is it early? What sort of tech stacks are you utilizing right now? I think if you can give me a picture of that.
Sure. Yeah, so we are also an AI-enabled solution. AI powers our transcription. It enables us to have, you know, very high-end accuracy in our transcriptions. So we're really proud to also, you know, be a part of what's happening and a part of this way. So that's really what powers that. And then also, not to go too deep into the tech stack, but I think just to touch on one of the unique differentiators in our implementation is that, you know, we are developing this solution so that it works on all of the major streaming platforms that are available. We're not just limiting the consumer to actually listen on one streaming platform. But they can have all of their notes that come from Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audible in one place. And that's one of the unique things. So in terms of where we are in our journey, currently we are still in the development process. We are less than a month away and we're super excited to actually launch the beta version. As you correctly pointed out, we have been, you know, recruiting people to be a part of our beta program. We've now reached our target in terms of the beta program, so we're going to close that. If you visit our website in the days to come, you're going to see that you can actually sign up to be a part of the waitlist. Now, that's a completely different group of people who are going to be among the first to find out when Bars launches. This is post-beta, and they're going to be able to try it out. So in essence, that's kind of where we are. We're hoping to launch it in June, and super, super excited for people to actually, you know, have access to this capability.
This is exciting, brother. Like, I'm really excited. Like, I'm really excited. And, you know, documenting this is going to be, like, really awesome for me. Now, introduce us to the team. Who's in the team? Who does what? And I think a really... Okay, introduce us to the team, and then I'll ask it after you've introduced us to the team, the Bars team.
All right, fantastic. So we're still a pretty small team at the moment. We're a team of four. We've recently added a member last week, which has been really awesome. But it's myself. I am the CEO of the team. And essentially what I bring to the table is product experience. Obviously, I built Jonga in the past, but also worked at Yoko as well as a product manager. So I'm bringing a lot of the product expertise to the team. And then we also have my other co-founder and head of design, who is Terence Mailula. And he's a very talented UI, UX designer working at cars.coza. And he's just an absolute talent. And he, as I mentioned, helps overlook the design of the product. So you're going to see how beautifully designed the app has been. How beautiful the app has been designed, and that's thanks to him. And then our third co-founder is Pride. Pride Musvare, and he is a senior software developer, full stack software developer, and so he does all of our, you know, coding and so forth and all the technical aspects of the solution. So together we were the three co-founders, and it's just a, you know, perfect dedicated product team. You come up with the requirements, design them, and then build them. And the fourth member that we've added in the last week is a gentleman by the name of Tadi, and he's also a really excellent developer. He focuses more on the back end. So between the two of them, we now have the perfect combination of one who's passionate about front end and another who's passionate about back end. And essentially that is us for now. But over time, we're obviously hoping to grow it and to bring in a lot more diversity as well into the team, just the skills, but also ways of thinking across gender.
No, brother Nzako, well. Synergy is very important. How does the team complement each other? That's you know, the culture. Culture is very important. We're big about culture at iAfrican. So, yeah, the culture, the synergy. How do you guys complement each other? What's a typical day in the office look like?
Sure. So I think, you know, the one thing we all have in common is just our love for the user that we're solving this for, you know. We're all avid podcast listeners ourselves, so we're super excited to actually build a solution for this community that we love and this community that's growing. So that's what we have in common that I think connects us all. But in terms of how we complement each other, one, we all have different skill sets, which is absolutely fantastic because it then allows us to be able to deliver on, you know, a really robust solution. You know, I could never do what Terence does. I could never do what Pride does. Likewise, they could never do what we do. But, you know, the fact that we have those complementary skill sets, what allows us to actually develop this technology in-house, which we're really, really excited about, and also developing this intellectual property together. You know, in terms of the culture that we're trying to build, you know, we've all worked in really dynamic environments, places like Yoko and so forth. So we really trying to bring some of that magic and that flavor into what we're doing. And we're trying to build, you know, the most dynamic and awesome place people to, you know, to work in, right? And being a team that is living in this modern world, you know, we're very open to things like remote working and so forth. So that's definitely how we're trying to build, and that's just part of our strategy to not limit ourselves to only access skills locally, but we're trying to open up ourselves to, you know, having a globally distributed team where we can tap into skills within the United States market, within, you know, the local market, within Asian market, and so forth. So that's pretty much how we operate today.
You know, Nsako, the team is wonderful, and you know, you guys are sort of like the Avengers, right? Of like podcasts, or you seek it to be like the Avengers of podcasts, you know, and you know, the technology that would, you know, bolster, you know, the experience regarding podcasts. Now, 5-man team, how do you guys complement each other? Synergy is really important. At iAfrican, we're really big on like culture. So just break down the culture, you know, how do you guys complement each other, and what's a typical day in the office look like?
Awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, the culture that we're trying to build is quite an informal one. I mean, you know, the podcast space is such a dynamic space. You know, there's, you know, it's just, yeah, I think that's the best way that I can describe it, is that it's very dynamic. So we also want to, you know, mimic that in our team. So very informal. We also really embrace, you know, people working from home. Obviously, in this, you know, what COVID taught us is that it's still possible to be highly effective without having to be in an office every single day. So, you know, another benefit of this is that it actually opens us up to having access to a global talent pool, right? So being fully distributed means we could have developers in the United States, we could have them in Asia, we could have them anywhere on the African continent. And we think that that's going to be important for us to actually be effective within this space. So that's the kind of
and I love that global outlook of, you know, wanting people in different jurisdictions, wanting people from different, you know, diverse skill sets. I really like that. I really believe that a lot. I think, you know, as a digital nomad, you know, the flexibility of, you know, online remote working, it's really phenomenal. Now, I'm going to use this analogy, right? So you've got like a chicken and an egg, right? And the chickens would be the podcasters, and then the eggs would be podcast listeners. So now you've already, you know, shared a lot on how Bars, you know, brings value to podcast listeners. I want you to focus on podcasters. You know, I'm a podcaster, iAfrican, we're a podcast, you know, a media company. What's the value for the podcasters? What would Bars, yeah, how would Bars bring value to iAfrican, for example?
Sure, that's an excellent question. So currently there are two ways that podcasters or podcast channels can get value from Bars. So the first one is through our Discover New Podcasts feature, right? That's going to be on the home of the Bars app. So in essence, what that is a digital ad kind of space where you can feature your podcast channel and then you can become discoverable to Bars listeners. Because we're obviously trying to attract avid listeners of podcasts, people particularly who are interested in developing themselves, if you are a podcast that's releasing content like that, then you can then become discoverable to the whole host of our users. So that's one way. How we do that is that we create a podcast page for your podcast. And on that page, we, you know, we display your podcast artwork, the bio out of your podcast. And then we also include links for all the different places where our listeners, our users can actually access your podcast. And that really works well for us because, one, we're giving, you know, podcast channels an opportunity to showcase themselves, but two, you know, it's once again another mechanism where we can provide value to the listeners and keep the listeners engaged on our platform so that they can then use, you know, Bars to take notes on those podcasts that we actually recommend. So that's the first avenue that we hope that create value for podcast channels. But the second one is that, you know, it's through actually the listeners using Bars to actually create that content and engage with it, right? So what we're doing in the back end is that we are busy observing trends on the different parts of the episode that listeners have most value. And that is something that we are aggregating, and that's analytics that we want to provide down the line to different podcasters that are willing to. So instant. Thank you. Yeah. We're going to unlock a level of insight that is currently not available with the various. We think that's going to be extremely valuable for the podcasters. But then there's actually a bonus way that we actually add value, right? I know I mentioned that there's two ways, but I'm going to add a third. So the third way is that because we are enabling listeners to be able to create these snippets from the content, what the app also allows them to do is to easily create content using those snippets. So let's say someone says bars while listening to this episode. They would then be able to take that note or that quote within their notes and turn that into an image, right? Using the artwork of the iAfrican Bytes episode. And then easily share that on social media, right? So now it becomes like a way of enabling listeners to do marketing for you, right? So instead of you guys, you know, when releasing this episode, trying to figure out which are the clips that we should create to actually market this episode, you can actually enable all of your listeners to create that content and share it on your behalf. So it becomes a lot more viral in that way. So those are the three ways that I think we provide value to podcasters.
Nzako, I think our COO Nzato is going to fall in love with this tool because he's he's forever asking me which soundbite should we clip. I'm like, yeah, Chief, you decide. And then we debate back and forth, like, okay, cool. Which one should we, you know, and eventually we get it right. But, you know, on a more serious note, I think the accuracy of the data allows a lot more accuracy when it comes to that. And you're able to hit it, you know, to nail it on the first chance. And I think that's really powerful. Now, Nzako, before we go, you've got your pool of early adopters. I mean, they've applied to test the beta app, right? They've signed up. Walk us through what's going to happen from now. What's the timeline? You know, when should we expect what?
Awesome, yeah. So we currently have about 70 people who signed up to be a part of the beta. So we're going to take them a month-long process where they're going to trial the app. They're going to give us feedback on things that we can improve. And then we're then going to take those that feedback and incorporate that into the product before our broader kind of commercial release to the general public. And what we're going to do while we're running our beta program is that we're going to launch our new landing page that's going to have a call to action that invites people to sign up for the waitlist. So we are really, really excited to open that up to the public. And we're really hoping that we could launch the Bars app to a waitlist of no less than 1,000 people who are just waiting to try the app out. So that's our internal target, but I'm quite confident that we can actually surpass that number just based off of, you know, doing things like this, featuring on podcasts and explaining what, you know, so I hope to do more of these with even other podcast channels to try and get people excited about bars and signing up for.
Now, Nzako, before, because this question just came to my mind, I'm noticing like sort of like a trend, right? Not a trend, but a new way of like launching apps. And we even saw with the ChatGPT when it had sort of like a, you know, a trial era with a closed session, you know, forgive me for my jargon, but you know, that's how I view it. A closed session where you have your, you know, beta people that apply, they test, they give you insights, and then you have sort of like your commercial release of it that would then attract a much more bigger pool of people. And then, you know, the R&D just keeps, you know, going and going and going to better sort of customize the product, right? What's the benefit of that model vis-a-vis just putting out a commercial, launching it commercially and hoping for success?
Sure. So that's a very good question. I think, you know, the observation is spot on that we're following a very kind of open AI approach of putting it out there, to a select or private group of people, and then kind of refining it from there before releasing it to the broader public. And really kind of our thinking around that is that, you know, the way that consumer products have just evolved over the years, you know, the consumer's expectation is actually quite high, even for a product in its very infancy. So, you know, you want to ensure that you're able to deliver on an experience that is semi-refined before you actually make it available to just the lay person or the lay podcast listener, right? So in essence, we've been quite particular around the persona of the people who are part of our beta program. We're really looking for early adopters that are going to really push the app to its limits and then provide us with all of those insights that can help us better the product so that, you know, when we launch to the broader public, we're kind of putting our best foot forward. So that's really how we've been thinking about this on our end. But once we do launch it, it's not to say we're going to launch a perfect product. We're still going to continue to iterate and be deeply, deeply empathetic towards our user and curious about the ways in which they're using it so that we can continue to develop features that meet their needs, which are probably going to grow over time. So that's, we want to really be product led and really build based on our users' requirements of the app.
I think this is why we're doing this as iAfrican, you know, as tracking you guys and sort of, you know, documenting this journey, not only just for yourselves, so, you know, 10, 20 years, 15 years down the line, you guys can look at, you know, you could look at yourself in the mirror and be like, hey, remember when we were just launching it, you know, and it's properly, you know, documented through, you know, the iAfrican Bytes podcast, but really also to highlight, you know, other software development companies, other tech companies on how to go about, you know, putting together products and services within the technology realm together. And I think, you know, what we're doing with Bars, you know, the partnership we have with Bars and documenting this journey is going to be a critical journey, not only just for, you know, for ourselves, not only just for you, but for the broader, you know, African tech community. And I think the insights from this series of podcast documenting Bars' journey is a university, a short course university for a lot of, you know, tech entrepreneurs and startups on how to go about, you know, being entrepreneurs within the tech sector. With that said, Brother Ntsako, thank you so much. Super awesome. I'm looking forward to our next one. Definitely. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much, brother.
Thanks so much, Batoum. It's been such a pleasure. And I'm super excited to go on this journey with you guys. Really excited to show this to my grandkids one day so that they can also listen in and hear about the journey. But also, you know, what excites me the most, like you mentioned, is the fact that other people who follow our journey will be able to, you know, hear about some of the challenges we're going through, how we're thinking about overcoming these challenges so that they could do the same thing in their own businesses. So really, really excited about this partnership. And I really hope that it can also, you know, open doors for us and potentially, you know, lead to collaborations and who knows, maybe even funding. So super excited and it's a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to iAfrican Bytes. Please share your feedback with us on our socials. On Twitter at iAfrican, on LinkedIn at iAfrican.com. And check out our other podcasts, The Tefo Mohapi Show, Tech Legal Matters, and The Lead Creator, on all podcast streaming platforms. And also make sure to head over to www.iAfrican.com. That is iAfrican.com/radio. And subscribe for notifications. iAfrican Bytes is an iAfrican Media original show produced by Nzalo Mbangana and content producer and host by Don Kotokwane.